And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about from way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it local leaders. So I'm going to say some things that sound obvious, but I want to condense them into one place, which is going to make them sound maybe a little bit more emphatic. Who you elect as mayor governs your life in a big way. I don't mean like a little bit. Like, mayors are responsible for everything from whether your trash gets picked up to your policing on the streets to pushing for things like, are you going to have an occupational tax? Do they increase your local sales tax? Because, yeah, some of that sales tax is local. I mean, all these things. How about your business licenses? How about whether or not you've got a crime-infested city with defund the police, or whether you've got, you know, a mayor who wants to shut down businesses and make people wear masks during COVID? We've seen it all in the last few years. Who you elect as a mayor, in my opinion, is every bit as important as who you elect as president of the United States. You can have a crazy mayor like Joe Biden. Excuse me, a crazy president like Joe Biden. I wish all he was a mayor. But you can have a crazy president like Joe Biden with policies that are running the nation into the ground in some ways. But you can still have an enclave where you live that is reasonably secure, run with conservative policies, and gives you a place to turn to and lay your head at night without having to wonder if all those policies from D.C. are getting amplified in your mayor's office or not. So here we are. Here we are. Who's your mayor? Who is the person who sits and presides? I don't care if it's the smallest town in the entire state, or if it's, you know, what is now the biggest city, in this case is Huntsville. Right behind that is Birmingham, which barely beats out Montgomery. And then, of course, Mobile. And then you've got Tuscaloosa. They call them the Big Five mayors. There's the Big Five. Then you have what they call the Big Ten. You add in the other next five, and so on and so on. You have different classes of municipalities. When I was a state senator, the smallest community in my district was Ridgeville. Ridgeville, where the mayor won the election by a vote of 19 to 12. Yeah. Some of my favorite communities in my district were places like Center, Steele, Altoona. I mean, I had lots of great communities. Southside, Glencoe. And leadership makes a difference. It really does. I remember Mayor Gilchrist of Glencoe became one of my favorite people. Mayor Nash out in Altoona, one of my favorite people. Mayor Wilkie up in Center. These were folks who it wasn't even their full-time job. But they did things that ran their cities, their little towns, in such a way that it made a difference. I will never forget. Okay, here's a story before I go too far down the road in these pieces that I've got. So Mayor Gilchrist, a Vietnam veteran, a former paratrooper, the 173rd Airborne Brigade, loves the Lord, got a great testimony. Mayor Gilchrist of Glencoe, nickname was Peanut. Everybody knew him as Peanut. And Mayor Peanut Gilchrist, one day, they got a letter. He had out there in front of City Hall, they had the American flag, the state flag, the Christian flag, and a POW/MIA flag. And they flew every day. And then and then one day, inexplicably, he gets a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation saying that there was somebody in the community who wanted to anonymously complain that they felt threatened by the fact that the Christian flag was being flown in front of City Hall in Glencoe, Alabama. Really? Doesn't seem like it's ever bothered anybody before. Thriving little community. Now that Christian flag is threatening somebody. So Mayor Gilchrist thought this through, and he thought, you know what? Right next to City Hall is First Baptist Church of Glencoe. Their parking lot butts up against the parking lot and really actually butts up against the flagpole area. And so the mayor got with the leadership of the church, and he sold them the little bitty strip of land where the flags are. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation had nothing to say at that point, because suddenly the flags that still look like they're flying in front of City Hall are actually owned by the church. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Freedom From Religion Foundation. But that's the kind of thing that when an organization is run by someone with some measure of backbone and leadership and conservative values, you can find that things rock on pretty well. And then you can find that when liberal progressives get hold of even a mayor's office, they can run that sucker into the ground. And how well your streets are, you know, perceived in terms of being safe or well-paved or clean, or whether or not you're going to wind up having your kids walk down a sidewalk feeling threatened, or homeless encampments, you know, taking up space where the farmer's market used to be, all those things wind up getting controlled very often through City Hall. Who you elect as a mayor makes a big, big, big hairy difference. So here's a piece from the Daily Signal. Daily Signal reports just a couple months ago, 27 of the top 30 crime-ridden cities are run by Democrats. So that's a pretty scathing indictment when you consider, okay, 27 out of 30. What are we looking at there? Is that like a 96%? Anyway, a new report shows that Democrat policies in cities and counties are responsible for rising crime rates, even in otherwise red states. A classic example would be like Birmingham is a blue city in the middle of an overall red state. Birmingham is now one of the highest per capita murder rates in the nation. Oh, by the way, run by liberal mayor Randall Woodfin. The Heritage Foundation released a 19-page report entitled The Blue City Murder Problem that includes analysis on crime data and explores who's responsible. Those on the left know their soft-on-crime policies have wreaked havoc in the cities where they have implemented those policies, said the authors of the report. They went on to say, it's not hard to understand why reforms like ending cash bail, defunding the police, refusing to prosecute crime, letting thousands of convicted felons out of prison early, significantly trying to cut the prison population, and other progressive ideas have led to massive spikes in crime. As of June, here you go, you ready for this? As of June of 2022, the top three cities with the highest homicide rates include Chicago with 304, Philadelphia with 240, New York with 197, all Democrat run. It also highlighted the fact that 27 of the top 30 cities with the highest murder rates were all run by Democrat mayors. 14 of the 30 cities with the highest murder rates have George Soros-backed or Soros-inspired prosecutors. It goes on and on. So what I'm saying is, who you elect as mayor, well, it makes a difference. Well, we've seen some things happen. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, right here in Birmingham. I want to remind you who he is and where he came from. Just elected in, what, 2017? Extolled the virtues of Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, did CNN. In a piece I've got here that says, a Bernie Sanders-backed candidate just got elected mayor in the Deep South. They were so excited. Randall Woodfin, it says, scored an upset when he won and beat the two-term Democrat mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, to become the youngest mayor, he was 36 at the time, in the Magic City in more than 100 years. A lady named Nina Turner, who's the head of an organization called Our Revolution, which is an organization that was founded by Bernie Sanders, was an active presence for Woodfin in his race. Sanders recorded a robocall, Bernie Sanders did, recorded a robocall that went out on one particular day saying that Woodfin would fight for racial justice and sanctuary city status for Birmingham, even a Medicare for All plan at the city level. And he sent out, Bernie Sanders did, a tweet urging people to go to the polls and then congratulating Woodfin on his victory. Even although Woodfin had actually been a Hillary Clinton supporter during her election campaign in 2016. For decades, the article says, Birmingham has been a blue city and a red state. And at 36 years old, Woodfin is one of the youngest politicians in the state. And I'm going to tell you, on his watch, the population dropped such that the census came out and said that Birmingham is no longer the biggest city in the state. On his watch, crime has gone up. On his watch, business has gone down. On his watch, things like the World Games came and didn't do that well and left a pile of debt. Now, I will go ahead and say the World Games was probably hampered to some degree by the closing days of COVID. But you're looking right now at a classic example. Even in a red state, you can have an incredibly liberal mayor backed by Bernie Sanders. Gonna make it a sanctuary city. How about this from 1819 News? You remember this? Right here in Alabama. Incredibly disheartened, say Montgomery leaders, who demand answers from their mayor, Stephen Reed. By the way, Stephen Reed, mayor of Montgomery, if you're not familiar, his dad is Joe Reed, who is the longtime leader of the teachers union. And, oh, by the way, is also the longtime leader of the state Democratic Party. Huge liberal. And now Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed, Joe Reed's son, got caught on a recording just cussing, just making a, just having a fit, saying how he didn't need the black vote, bashing economic investments in Montgomery, bashing Maxwell Air Force Base, Governor Ivey, all of it. Just swearing and discussing his perceived lack of need for the black vote, even though he himself is a black man. Unbelievable. It got so bad. 1819 broke this story. I love this. They broke the story, and it's one of those things that nobody else was going to run with that story until it became a story and they had to. Next thing you know, everybody's writing about it. Mayor Stephen Reed had to come out and give an explanation, but that's who you got. And he's presiding right now over policies that are hurting the city of Montgomery, our state capital. But it's everywhere, man. I'm just telling you. New Orleans is now the murder capital of the nation. That's a title that it earned. Story came out on NBC News just last month. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell faces a possible, well, she did. She actually, the recall election was not successful. But it's so bad that in liberal New Orleans, the people were trying to recall the liberal mayor. That bad. And they came pretty close. Says uncollected trash overflows in the streets. She contends with allegations that she had an affair with a member of her security detail. There's also allegations, by the way, that she has abused a city-owned apartment by giving it to family members to stay in. There's also other things about a very high expense, expenses for clothes and hair and nails and all that for her in her official capacity. And yet, the big issue is the people don't feel safe in their own city anymore. They don't. Homicides in New Orleans increased 144% in the last couple of years. I mean, 144%. By the end of the year, it says last year, a total of 265 homicides in the city. And they're now named as the murder capital of the nation. And they've got a LaToya Cantrell, who one person said, she is not a manager. She is not good for the city. She has mismanaged the office of the mayor of New Orleans so badly. We got to get somebody in there that's going to be able to put the house back in order. But they're starting to wonder, how far is it going to go before we get that? Well, think about who you put in office. All right, Boomer, take us to a break right now. I'm doing this whole section on local leaders. Think about the ones that run your city. What do you know about them? Hopefully, you got a chance to actually be a part of the selection process. Because who runs your city hall is sometimes just as important as who sits in your governor's office or, for that matter, the White House. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more of this. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm in number one of the triple dipper, calling it local leaders, and why I think it's so important to make sure that you know who's in your city hall, because daggum, man. I mean, during COVID, we saw things, there were things that, Democrat Mayor Walt Maddox was doing in Tuscaloosa that, Republican conservative Mayor Tony Kennan in Orange Beach is like, ain't going to happen here. I mean, it's amazing what happens when you've got conservative leadership, even in your city hall. Like, you got this. So look around the nation right now, things that are happening. Mayor Ted Wheeler getting ticked off just last week when the governor of Texas was calling him out. So Ted Wheeler, notoriously liberal in Portland, Oregon, I mean, just like, wow, so bad recently. The crime and the local leadership has gotten so bad that Walmart decided to close two of its locations and just pull out. There is no Walmart in Portland now. I mean, when Walmart leaves,
you know it's bad.
The heck? I mean, all that's left is what? Pawn shops? I don't know. But anyway, Walmart recently announced the stores at Hayden's Meadows and Eastport Plaza in Portland would permanently close on March 24th. Decision made on several factors, including profitability. Well, profitability is affected because they've got retail theft going on like rampantly in Portland. And the, of course, this is one of those defund the police kind of locations. This is what happens, said the Texas governor, when cities refuse to enforce the rule of law. It allows the mob to take over. Businesses can't operate in that environment and people can't live in it. Well, of course, Ted Wheeler pushed back. Governor Abbott, how about the stores that have closed in Texas? Yeah, yeah. Well, I got news. No. You need to own it, Mayor. You need to own it. How about San Francisco, where there was another high-profile murder, random stabbing? The guy who was the founder of Cash App, a major, you know, online high-tech app, was just murdered in the street. And I'm pretty sure it was such a random thing. It's gotten so bad now, Mayor London Breed, who was all about the defund the police thing until it began to spiral out of control. Right now, San Francisco is in drastic state. There are so many people that don't want to come back into downtown San Francisco to work. They're choosing to work remotely that it's crushing local businesses who are trying to stay open because nobody's there to eat lunch. Nobody's there to shop. And it's getting into this spiral. Well, Mayor London Breed, you remember her. She's the one who, by the way, during COVID and masking and all the mandates she was screaming about and telling people to get on board, then they found her in a nightclub dancing without a mask on and a drink in her hand. Wow. The mayor, who's been known as a defund the police advocate, recently called on the federal government for assistance to help her with streets that are ridden with drugs, violence, and homelessness. She says the scale of the problem is beyond our local capacity. She built the problem. She built the problem, and now she wants the federal government to come bail her out. San Francisco Police Officer Association Lieutenant Tracy McCray is one of those critics. He called out the San Francisco mayor for hating law enforcement while noting that officers are a critical key in curbing the city's issues. And he went on to talk about it. But anyways, she talks about the fact that she needs help with the open-air drug market as fentanyl-related overdoses continue to soar in San Francisco, saying we need support from the Department of Justice. I got news. You need to start being hard on crime, because right now the San Francisco Police Department, they are understaffed by 541 officers. Can you imagine? That's an entire battalion, man. They are down 541 officers from what they say they need just to do the jobs. Well, is it any wonder? Lastly, we're going to talk about Chicago here in a minute with my buddy Scott Stantis. But Seattle, yeah, Seattle. Seattle's got issues. Seattle's a beautiful city, but Seattle's got issues. And right now, in the middle of everything going on in Seattle with crime, with Antifa, with you know, the inability to keep the homeless situation at bay, the mayor, Bruce Harrell, has proposed a $970 million project to provide low-income housing for the homeless. $970 million. The only way to do it, by the way, is to levy taxes against local homeowners so they can build homes for the homeless. I don't think he understands how this works, but it's not going to work. It would cost the median Seattle homeowner about $380 a year. Maybe that doesn't sound huge. When you spread it out, you're looking at, what is this, like $250 a month, something like that. But the reality is you're talking about taxing people who are doing the right thing in order to put a roof over the heads of people who are doing the wrong thing, and it gets worse from there. $970 million proposal, and nobody knows how it's going to work. Put somebody in your city hall and see how it goes. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're coming right back with Scott Stantis, syndicated cartoonist from the Chicago Tribune. We'll see what he thinks about Chicago's new mayor. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, all you